Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Pan, and I'm very grateful that you chose to be with me on this 25th day of August 2019. It goes so fast. I'm very, very grateful that you're here and that we're going to talk about the dark forces. Evidently, Marianne Williamson, a pseudo-spiritual teacher, in my opinion, brought this up during the debates, and I got a whole mess of, what shall we say, interesting emails from people who saw the debates. I did not see this, so I don't do that, but I saw a clip on Colbert on my computer, and I saw what they were talking about, so I'm fairly educated in this. So we're going to talk about that because I got about a half a dozen emails from people about this comment she made, and we'll go into it. I want to remind you, as I always need to, I know you hate it, but it is the way it is because people are the way they are. Your donations are the only thing that keep this radio program on the air. And if you are enjoying our radio program, our TV programs, I hope that you will make a contribution, become a sponsor, help us sustain our efforts here on Aspire. We're trying to raise money for our new programs. The final programs I will ever do on Aspire is just getting harder and harder and harder to raise money. People don't care. I am told that I'm a very bad fundraiser. I guess I am, but that's really not my job, man. My work is to teach, not to fundraise. But, you know, you got to do everything. You got to have a lot of hats when you're the only one working, you know, in the office. So you're going to have to forgive me for that. I hope that you will make a contribution. If you're not a sponsor, become one. Help us sustain this radio program. You get a lot of wonderful gifts for your sponsorship if you're serious about inner work, which I find now that most people are not. We'll talk about that. But if you are, your donations loom very important. There isn't another teacher out there, another radio program, TV series out there like Aspire. Nothing. So I'm hoping that you will see the value of it. Become a sponsor. Help us. Go to the website at aspire.org. There you will see in the middle of the page, support. Oh, boy, four-letter word that isn't four letters. And if you hit a little button there, hit support, a drop-down menu will come down for you, and it will say, why support Aspire, which is probably what's on your mind. Why should I do this? And if you read it, maybe it will tell you why, and you will understand more. You know, nothing in this world is going to change until we do. I want you to understand that. You can try to change the economy. You can try to change people's minds, sway them not to be prejudiced and all that. But none of that's going to work. It hasn't worked for centuries. And, you know, what's the definition of insanity but trying to do the same thing over and over again without real change, without anything really happening, and just keep on doing it, thinking that maybe it will. Maybe there's a pony in here somewhere, but there isn't a pony. So Aspire offers to you, and what I'm going to be offering to you here on the radio, which I always do, is an alternative to all that. It isn't popular. It takes a lot of work. You have to want love more than wanting what you think you'll get for your love. It's a lot of things that go counterculture. And so if there's only a small amount of us that are doing this, can we make a change? We can only make a change within ourselves. And the mercy you show towards Aspire, towards others, towards life, towards the world by your support of this program becomes the very goodness of your life. And if you've ever wondered why there isn't a lot of goodness in your life, or if you've ever wondered if there could be more, whatever, try mercy, compassion, love. They become what you give in your life. So evidently, Marianne Williamson, this author, she's an Oprah person. She's very emotional. I saw her do a little bit on Colbert, so I'd have some kind of a background on all of this. Oh, God. You know, I was just thinking, she touts herself as a spiritual teacher, sold a ton of books. That tells you something right there. The masses, what they think of as spiritual. And that's probably why I'm always begging. But there you are. There's the point. I was just thinking, would Buddha have run for president? You think? Do you? Hmm? Do you think Jesus would have, you know, said to Pilate, look, let me take over this whole thing and we'll get it all straightened out. Do you think these people would have done that? Well, if you do, you're mentally ill. I'll just say it right out. So anyway, she talked about the dark forces. So here's the questions I've been getting. It's from Kay in Los Angeles. She writes me quite often, and I'm very grateful for her emails. I feel like there is a dark force out there, as Marianne Williamson talked about. Is there? Do you believe in dark forces, Kay? Kay, there is a dark force. It really is. And sometimes it can keep me up at night. I'm sure it keeps some people up at night. They feel it. It's something you feel deep inside. There are psychic forces where people are, doing the money thing, when the shootings all happened and all of us were truly humanly brokenhearted about the whole thing. I at least was. I understood how this all happened, of course, and nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody. There are sinister dark forces, and they're the ones we pay in our taxes to these people who belong to the NRA and get money from the NRA. But it is the dark force. Let's put it this way. The whole thing in the dark force thing is, I don't care about your life. I care about the payoff I get from the NRA or all of that good money I can get for voting the way I'm told to vote. We don't have a democracy. Never be fooled by all of that. We don't. We're not capable of having a democracy. That would take integrity, spiritual integrity. And we don't have that. We don't care about that. That's not important to us at all. So don't ever think we're a great country. We never have been. We just never have been. It's always been about power and slaves and manipulation and war and money and hate and fear and all of that. So yes, there are dark forces. And where do they come from? Well, we've had them ever since the dawn of humankind. We've had them since, you know, you were born and I was born and long before we were born. In fact, you and I were born into this thing, this whole deal of the dark forces we were born into. This was our karma. And if you thought that, your spiritual life didn't matter, well, look where you are. Look where I am. We're all here in the same boat. And they did matter. They will always matter. And when you look at it from the point of view of what I did in my past life, what I do now, what I currently carry with me in my karma, in my livingness, doesn't have an effect on me. You think those thoughts? Well, here you are. Here you are. And these dark forces have a way of manifesting and coming into reality. Jesus faced the dark forces. He had to face them. He was chased out of every little village and town he went into. And finally, he goes into, the big one. And there is Pontius Pilate, and he submitted to him. For what reasons? You know, nobody will know. Nobody. I can't tell you. Historically, I have read all sorts of books and essays on why he did that and the whole deal. I don't know his mind. I don't know why he would do that. I don't know. I'm not saying he was wrong, but I'm not saying he's right. I'm just saying this is what it was. So there is some things we'll never know. But he faced the dark, sinister forces. He really did. And they were there. And Pontius Pilate just was begging him not to do this, just to say, I'm not the, you know, the Son of God. But Jesus didn't say a word. He just said, you know, are you saying this of me? Is this what you've heard from other people? Or is this something you believe? He didn't say a word. He just let it happen. And it was very painful. And don't think that, you know, he wanted this to happen. Don't go there. Don't think that, you know, this, his human side said, oh, yeah, let's just do this. It was tough. He said that, you know, it was difficult for him. I don't blame him. It'd be difficult for any of us. Why he did it, we will really never know. And you can't surmise the enlightened mind. I can't. I don't even go there. I won't even think in terms of doing that. That would be disrespectful of him and the work he did. But if you look a little deeper inside your heart, you will find out you have the same mentality. The dark, sinister forces that surround us or within us, keep us up at night, sometimes make us feel insecure, like something's not right in the world. These come from people who are seeking to take advantage of other human beings that have the idea of power and want the idea of power to pervade the world, to make the world the way they want it to be. They want to be in control. They want to enjoy the game between human beings and think that, well, if they do this, they don't do that. If they get theirs before somebody else gets ours. And it's a whole slew of things. And yes, it is getting worse and worse and worse. And one of the reasons it is because how quickly and stealthily we can kill other people. I mean, we have drones now. We don't even have to have a pilot in there, you know, flying the airplane, that is. We have guns. You heard about it. This guy killed 9 people in 30 seconds, 10 people. It was terrible. It was horrible. We have video games. And don't tell me video games don't contribute to all this. And don't tell me Hollywood doesn't contribute to all of this. We wake up the genetic nature of survival, the genetic instincts for a person to survive. And to do that, we have to go into the primitive aspects of ourselves, the primitive beliefs, the primitive kind of, well, impulses to live and not let live, but live and kill so we can live. There's all sorts of things at play. I was watching this very interesting Brian Gumbel expose on video games the other day. And the World Trade, or excuse me, the World Health Center, the World Health Organization centered in New York City said that video games are an addiction, and addictions lead to all sorts of things. Now, I don't know if these shooters played video games. I don't know. We're not told anything. We're meant to be kept in the dark about everything. That's the ploy. That's the way it works, to stay in the dark. That's what we do. And we don't care until a shooter shows up at your local festival or your local whatever. Then you care. And that's the problem. We don't care about ourselves. We don't care to elevate our state of consciousness. We don't want to do that. It's too much work. We just want to be entertained and have fun. And we'll fly that flag at half-mast and say that we care. But the only real thing we can do that shows that we care is to elevate into consciousness, into love. That's the only thing. I gotta go. Okay, thank you for your email, and I really enjoyed them. Thank you so much. Please forgive me. Namaste. The next one comes from Josh. I feel influenced by this world. I can't help it, or can I? It worries me about myself, Josh. Yes, you can help it. Josh, don't play video games. Don't go to violent movies. Those are just, you know, basic common sense rules. They're common sense. But more importantly, you, like I said, to K, we have to elevate. We have to elevate our attentions beyond the human recourse of fear and hate and anger that we live in, this vengeance that we live in for the sake of not liking any political scene or any social scene or any economic difficulties. The guy at the garlic festival that was shooting people up said that he did it because everything was too expensive. Read it on the internet. Wow, really? Too expensive, so we shoot everybody up. I want you to understand the insanity of all of this, and I want you to please understand inside yourself how you can contribute to the benefit of humankind by doing things that help other people. I am actively myself involved in helping other people in my hospice work, in my new BATMO project. I am actively seeking to help. You must elevate your efforts, your energies. It doesn't matter what you do. You can do feeding the homeless, gathering clothes for the poor, doing whatever you need to do, you know, in your community to help those who are having great difficulty. And don't sit there and take the pedestrian attitude. Well, all they do is use the money to drink or buy booze. Don't do things like that. Do the things that contribute to the higher cause of life. Act, live, move from the higher cause of compassion. Don't be insulted. Everybody gets insulted so easily. Oh, I'm insulted. Don't get caught up in the racial BS either, because it's just BS. They want you stirred up. They want you to feel depressed. They want you to succumb to the idea of certain races cause certain problems in the world. They want you to think all that. They do. You don't do that. You just don't do that. Discover how beautiful people are. Go into your heart of hearts. Meditate. Work on yourself. See how the world is. See what is, what isn't, what's true, what's not. Develop a sense of character inside of you, a sense of consciousness. And don't think for a moment that everything you do doesn't matter. It does. All of us. Whether I, you know, go to hospice or not, it matters. Whether or not I'm with the kids and helping them and teaching them how to have some character, it matters. Go to my BATMO website at BATMO2.org. Just go look. I think it's BATMO.org. I could be wrong. Just bookmarks are so much easier for me at my age. Just go look. We are doing things for the youth. I'm doing things for the youth, and I'm doing things for the elderly. Both. Both ends of the spectrum. And you can do it too. You can find something to do that counteracts this dark, dark, dark energy that's out there. And don't let it live in you. You may not be able to bring world peace in your mind, but you can. You bring peace to the world when you have peace within yourself. You make a true contribution to this world when you make a contribution to love within yourself. And then you act on it. You live from it. And you don't let other people involve you in the gossip of this world, the gossip of each other. You live in the heart of your heart. And that's where you stay. And you make this with all of your heart, your soul, your strength, the movement, the momentum of your entire lifetime. And you never let the bastard get you. Not ever. My students know what that means. So if you're weak in your character and you're influenced by the world and you think, oh, there's no reason to carry on. There's nothing I can do. The world is a terrible place. We're overcome by it. There's more of them than us. That kind of mentality isn't going to change. We're not going to change the world by changing culture or society, because it can't be changed. We are a culture and a society based in fear and hate, and that's the way we will always be. It's instinct. It's DNA. It's genetics. Get over it. It's just the way we're built. I didn't make it this way. I make it that way within me. And if I'm not careful, it becomes my entire life. And you don't want that to happen. Let love live you. That's my thing. Let love live you. And if you do, and you keep your focus on love, much can happen. But Josh, most people aren't going to do this. It takes a Herculean effort. And I don't know you, and I just hope you have that kind of heart in you. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question. This is from Raymond. He does not tell me where he lives either. I am so lost. What can I do? I feel like I'm drowning here. Raymond, your sentiments are the sentiments of many, many people on this earth. There's a lot of people who are lost, a lot of people who feel afraid. Find your heart. Don't be looking for the answers in the world. You won't find them there. You won't find them in your mind. You won't find them in your ego. You won't find them in your human body. Go to your heart. Find everything in your heart. Find love. Do something outrageously kind, inexplicably loving. Don't have a reason for what you do that you have to answer to other people. Let love live you. And if you can do this, if you can feel the presence of a tremendous love in you, which it does live in you through your meditation, through just sitting and wanting nothing with all of your heart, it will become clear to you what it is that you need to do, as it did me. I never give up. I never succumb to the collective. I never think at my age, my time in life, I should be doing this. I don't believe in the golden years. I believe in the golden heart that lives in all people. And I recognize that no matter what a person may think, say, or do, it is all about love. And so you're going to have to find your heart, not yourself. There is no self to find. People will tell you, you have to find yourself, but it is not true. You have to find your heart. And if you can find that first, if you can go to your authentic heart, and you can allow it to have its way within you, then something of the other shore, something of a great goodness will come to you. And when you understand that the mercy you show others becomes the goodness of your own life, that is when you change everything in yourself. Will you change the world? No, no. Gandhi didn't. Buddha didn't. Jesus didn't. Lao Tzu didn't. No, Jack and Bobby and Martin didn't, but you change yourself. You transmit a loving energy, and those who feel that energy will be drawn to you. They'll be drawn to what you're doing. That will be enough. Believe me, that will be enough. You don't need to change the world. You don't need to become a world leader. We do it inch by inch within ourselves. Not within other people. You have to want this great love that lives within you beyond the confines of your belief and the circumstances of your body. Most people won't do that, but you can. And you can't worry about most people. You just have to love them where you find them. Love them where they are. And try to help as many as you possibly can when you are asked to. And when you see the opportunity of service to humankind, you take it. And you make room for it rather than doing maybe some of the things you'd rather do, which is maybe play video games or watch TV or take a trip or have a drink or overeat or whatever. You start to see the meaning of your existence and the meaning of yourself in the face of everyone you meet. Thank you, Raymond, for your beautiful question. Please forgive me. Namaste. I hope this helped you in some way. We'll be back on the air tomorrow. I hope you'll join me. Thank you for listening. Please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.